The scripture lesson this morning is a familiar one. John chapter 14, and we'll read the first 9 verses. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Ethel was 106 years old when I visited her the last time. 106. And when I walked into her room at Samaritus, she said, well, look at that, the preacher's here. And we sat down and had a nice long visit, and we talked about Airstream travel trailers and how she and her husband Bud used to travel around and enjoy camping. We talked about carving ducks. Her and her husband were really good at carving duck decoys, and the decoys that they carved sold for thousands of dollars. I have one. We talked about going to Bethany Reformed Church, and she was a secretary there to Dr. Henry Bast. Does that name ring a bell? She was his secretary for many years, and we talked about Henry and his family. We also talked about this scripture passage, and she made me promise, number one, that I'd do her funeral. And number two, that I would use this passage as a primary text for her funeral. And what could I say? Unfortunately, right after that, COVID swept through our nation. And it swept through the facility where she lived. And the Lord took her home. And the government in its wisdom said, you can't gather together and have funeral services right now. And so we never really got a chance to celebrate Ethel's life. So today is a memorial to Ethel and her love for the Lord and her love for this scripture passage in particular. When we come to this passage in the scriptures, the disciples are all stressed out. They're totally confused. Just days before, Jesus has gotten down on his hands and knees and washed their feet like a common servant in the house. They didn't know what he was trying to communicate, except he kept saying, you need to be servants in your heart like I'm showing you. Serve one another. He talked to them about being chosen, and he said, at the same time, one of you is going to betray me. And that shocked them. One of you is going to lift his hand against me. And then he goes on and identifies later that it's going to be Judas. And John, almost as a footnote, writes in his gospel, after Judas left, he said, and it was night. You can almost see the scene. The disciples shaking their heads and wondering what's happening. Then he starts talking about going away. And he further says, I'm going to go in a place where you can't follow me. And now they're really confused. And then he starts talking about love. And he said, it's important for you to love one another. And this is how the world is going to know that you belong to me as my disciples, by your love for one another. Love like what's experienced in this church family. And then he predicts that Peter, of all people, is going to betray him. And by now, the disciples just, they have so many questions. Lord, just tell us what's going to happen. And stop talking about death. We'll protect you with our lives. You're too young to die. What would happen to the kingdom if you were to die? They have all of these questions and this tremendously high stress level. And then picture this in your mind. Jesus gathers them together like a football huddle. And they lean into one another, and Jesus shares with them these words. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. These words suddenly reach out and grab the disciples and give them something to hone in on. And it's that word home that particularly hangs in the air. What do you think of when you think of the word home? For me, it's 1211 Tamarack, west side of Grand Rapids, kitty corner from Seventh Reformed Church. It's where I grew up. I remember that place, even though it was many, many years ago. We had those old-fashioned radiators, you know, the cast iron ones, and in the winter we'd huddle up to those things. I can still remember that. My bedroom was on the second floor, and it was a bus stop right there at Tamarack and Leonard. And so I grew up with the smell of diesel in my nostrils. And to this day, I still love diesel smell. Right across our little postage stamp backyard was my grandma's house, which was right on the corner of Tamarack and Leonard. And every Saturday morning, my dad would take my brother and I to her house. She was a widow then. And we'd have nutty donuts from Buttercup Bakery just down the street. Maybe you remember that name. And I drank coffee at an early age at my grandma's house, maybe 5-6 years old. So that old myth about coffee stunning your growth, forget about it. We enjoyed those times just immensely. For Judy, she grew up in a big old farmhouse in Dutton on Hammond Road. And the upstairs didn't have heat. And so her brothers and sisters and her had to kind of hustle in the morning in the winter because it was cold up there. But that house had these massive gold or oak moldings all over all the, remember those? Had uneven floors, and it was a wonderful place. And her mom made it wonderful, Jane, my mother-in-law. And then there was the cottage up at Long Lake. When my brother and I were young, that was home for us all summer long. Soon as school let out, we were up there. We didn't come back till school started again. It was just a simple little cottage at that time with a fireplace on one end and a kitchen on the other end, big old kitchen table, and for whatever reason, all of the neighbors liked to congregate there at night and play game, card games, Uno, and laugh, and it was a gathering spot. And in the back room were bunk beds. It was home. When I say that word, you have your own images of what home looked like, smelled like. And I hope they're good images. Because many places in the world, if I say the word home, it doesn't bring good images to mind. People in Ukraine, for instance, right now, are experiencing terrible hardship, and many of them have lost their homes. Kenya, Sudan, Nairobi, Uganda, China, the Honduras, the West Bank. These are places where home could be a place of terror, place of raised voices and anger and violence and even bloodshed and death. Hope it's not that way in your mind as you think about home. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the warmth, the safety, that cozy place where you could go and retreat to, where all the world would be right. And the people that were there, that's the important thing, the people that were there, the relationships that you had with your family, the people that made your home a home, the love you experienced there. Now, if I say the word heaven, what do you think about? Heaven, paradise. What does that mean? Celestial city? Again, what does that mean? Streets of gold? Can you imagine it? Eternal kingdom? Again, hard to picture, but home. That's what Jesus called it. When the time comes, you will be going home. And you will experience it in all of its wonder, in all of its glory. Back to the passage. Jesus, again, is talking to people who are experiencing high anxiety. You know what anxiety is all about. You, like me, worry about everything. We worry about ourselves. We worry about our kids. We worry about grandkids. We worry about getting sick. We worry about not being able to take care of ourselves and aging and the economy and money and crime and decisions about the future and death and the mystery and all the unanswered questions. We worry about anything and everything, don't we? And Jesus said, don't go around life with troubled hearts. Now, the irony here is that Jesus experienced a troubled heart. Remember? Garden of Gethsemane? Remember the cares that he brought in there and the gut-wrenching time that he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point where he sweat blood? Now he says to his disciples and to us, I don't want you to experience anxiety. Give it to me. Let me process it for you. And then he goes on and says, believe in God. Believe in his love. Believe in his plan for you. Believe that my fate and what I'm about to experience is God rescuing you. Through his own means. And then the second half of that verse, in verse 2 actually, comes this amazing statement of fact. He says, as he pulls back the curtain on heaven, in my Father's dwelling place are many homes, places of residence. And he said, shortly I'm going to go and prepare one of them for you, a place to call home, a dwelling place. Now, for different people at different points in their lives, that may conjure up all kinds of different images. There are days when we live in homes, you know, regular suburban homes. There are times when we live in apartments or condos or duplexes or dorm rooms. But Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a dwelling place for you. And then he goes on in this amazing statement, because he can prepare a place for us because he knows us. He knows what we love, what we feel comfortable with, what makes us feel secure and alive. And then comes this wow verse, verse 3 in chapter 14 is one of these, what I call a wow verse. He says there, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Wow. Do you realize what he's saying there? I'll come back for you. I will personally escort you home, that where I am, you may be also. Just can't begin to process that right now, except we have that assurance that we will not make the journey alone. And that the first reaction is when we get to that place that he's prepared for us, is we'll say, I'm home. And part of that will be because he's there. We can't comprehend it right now. We live in space and time. How's that all going to happen? Will it happen instantly when I die? Will I have to wait a while? To the thief on the cross, he said, today you're going to be with me in that place. See, when we enter into eternity, space and time are left behind. And we don't live there anymore. We live in what theologians have called the eternal present. Suddenly, there is no tomorrow, no yesterday, there's now. And so we'll experience it without any interruption, without any hesitation, and we'll say immediately, I'm home. J. Judy and I were blessed with a cruise a year ago. The church that I served for, that we served for 40 years, periodically during that time would give us anniversary gifts. At the 15-year mark, at the 20-year mark, at the 30-year mark, and then again when I retired, they gave us cruises because they know that Judy and I just loved that. The last one was originally scheduled to be an East Coast cruise from Boston on up into Canada and, you know, those islands up there. We were going to do that cruise for something different. Then COVID hit. We had to put it on hold. And when we finally got around to taking that cruise, that particular cruise wasn't available. So you know where we went? Alaska. And we roamed all around Alaska, Ketchikan and Juneau, and did all of those wonderful things up in the 50th state, and enjoyed ourselves immensely. But then at a certain point, and you know what I'm talking about here, at a certain point, your thoughts turn towards home. No matter how much fun you're having on a trip like that, eventually you start thinking about the house, about the lake, about being back with family and kids and Bo, our grandson, and unpacking and getting back into daily routines and special occasions and family dinners and sleeping in your own bed and cooking at home and your own range and resting and reflecting on the trip and just being home again. You know what I'm talking about? No matter how great the trip is, that's just part of it. And this is exactly how Jesus wants us to think about our future. Even though we've never been there, Jesus' promise is, you'll see me, you'll trust me, and you'll say, I'm home. And we have all these questions. What's it going to look like? What's the view going to be like? What's the climate going to be like? What's my body going to be like? Am I going to be old or young? Am I going to be short or tall? Am I going to be thin or a little heavier? Am I going to be experiencing physical problems or anything like that? Am I going to have scars? Can I have pets? All of these questions come to us about that home. And we don't have the answers yet, but we have the assurance from Jesus that we will not be disappointed. In fact, we will be thrilled beyond imagining. I have several loved ones there. So do you. And the scripture says they'll also welcome us. And they will all the more make it feel like we are home. And I want you to think of them right now. Their arms outstretched, waiting to welcome you home. Best thing about all of this, Jesus double promised. And he said, trust me, you will not be disappointed. Imagine what it will be like living there. No bills, no cares, no fear of losing your job or your health, no worry about taxes or wondering about retirement, no anxiety about where the children are or whether they're safe, no fear of crime or war, no pollution, no corruption, no death, no disease, no sorrow, no tears, nothing to be afraid of and everything to look forward to. Thoughts of home stir memories in all of us. For some, it's the coolness of hardwood floors in the morning, or the first simmering smells of dinner in the afternoon, the crackle of the fireplace in the winter, the scent of lilac seeping through a bedroom window in the spring, the summer creak of a porch swing in the wind, the first quilts of autumn folded at the foot of the bed, the chenille blanket draped over the goose down couch, the communal solitude of good books, the contagious laughter of old friends, the hospitality of high ceilings, the congeniality of chairs touching elbows around the table, the openness of windows, the privacy of curtains, the love that's there, the food that's shared, the gifts we give and the ones we receive, chicken soup when we're sick and covers when we're cold, a bath to soak in, a bed to climb in. Home is where we have a place at the table, a place that's empty if we're gone, and where the emptiness is felt by all. That's where we're headed. And we have Jesus' word on it. All right, we end with a quiz, a country music quiz. What's a song popular in the Christian community that does not contain the word God or Jesus, but is about the very promise we've been talking about today? And I'll give you a last hint. It was recorded by none other than Elvis Presley. Listen, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. Someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm but a pilgrim in search of the city. I want a mansion, a harp, and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. Someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. And you have Jesus' word on it. So thank you, Ethel, for sharing this passage with us today. And we will see you soon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful promise, this tremendous passage of Scripture. How it thrills our hearts and settles our anxiety when we hear these words and this promise. And we pray your blessing on each person who received it today, young and old, because this isn't just about older folks. Father, our lives are very tenuous, and they literally hang in the balance between life and death at any given moment. And yet, we as believers live in this kind of security. We know where we're going. And we know that nothing in this world can ever endanger that, because you have made the way, and the way is your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray it in his name with our thanks. Amen.